Proverbs 11, 1 and 2. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but an accurate weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But wisdom is with the humble. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but an accurate weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but wisdom is with the humble. I want to talk about humility assets. Humility assets. Church, there are times in life when we all need to do a spiritual assessment of where we are in life. As you know, the season of spring is soon to be upon us, and in the natural, when spring comes, we oftentimes participate in the act of spring cleaning. Spring cleaning, church, was the process in which we would make a transition from the old to the new. It was a time when we put away the heavy for the light. Any of y'all know anything about spring cleaning? We put away the dark for the bright and clean our homes of the clutter and build up from the previous seasons. Spring cleaning was a time when we would throw away those things that have served their purpose and put away those things that we no longer need. It was a time when we paid attention to the details. When you would get on your hands and knees and put some elbow action to clean away the grime out of the corners, wash walls and baseboards, windows and scrub floors. And in the country where I'm from, when we did spring cleaning, Grandma would always get her some new linoleum. Anybody in here know about linoleum? For the kitchen floor. I'm talking about spring cleaning. Spring cleaning required that you had the wash clothes, iron out wrinkles. It was house cleaning assessment time. Gave you a fresh start to a new season. And just as we perform the act of spring cleaning in the natural, it is also important that we do the same with our lives, both naturally and spiritually. And since this is the season of Lent, it is the time for us to put away those things that no longer benefit us. It is time for us to do an assessment of our lives and clean out the clutter. Time to take away the grime and that which has built up over a period of time. It's time to clean up old hurts, old pains. Do away with all bad experiences and close the door on the past. It's time to let the sun shine in. Time to be exposed to the warm and rejuvenating light of a new beginning, new possibilities. Take advantage of a fresh start. How many of you know that you don't have to wait till the new year to have a fresh start. You can create your own fresh start wherever you decide to do an assessment of your life and act on that assessment and being true to yourself, you can have a fresh start. Because the God we serve is a God of fresh starts. We heard the scripture reading in Isaiah where God says, I'm about to do a new thing. You remember how God led the children of Israel through the wilderness as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God fed them quail and manna from heaven's table. But one thing God required was that they ate enough for that day and not try to hold any back for another day. Because each day, God would give them a fresh batch of food to eat. Church, even God don't believe in leftovers. Even when it comes down to our blessings, the Bible informs us in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Every morning, God gives us new mercy. Every morning, a fresh start, a fresh beginning. God does it because God knows that we need to be programmed to believe in fresh starts and fresh beginnings because life has a way of building up, weighing you down, and overwhelming you. Life has a way of becoming cluttered. You can easily get caught in a rut and a routine doing the same old thing, going around in circles, not progressing, not assessing, not allowing fresh light to shine in. Church life has a way of piling on, one thing after another, one hurt after another, one disappointment after another, one challenge after another. That's why it's important to clean up our lives, to rearrange our lives, to do some spring cleaning with our own existence. But it will require that we make an honest assessment of where we are. Because I believe what we will discover in our assessment is how much our lives are out of balance. So we hear the wisdom writer in Proverbs 11 tells us, a false balance is an abomination to God. The false balance occurs when we have a perception of ourselves that's not real. Lord have mercy. When our lives are out of balance, but we pretend that we're in balance. A false balance, hear me, church, is when you live in an unrealistic reality and fail to face the truth. Deal with the truth. Or even try to discover the truth. The truth is always the starting point of getting balance in your life. Because the Bible tells us this, the truth that shall make us free. Hear me. The truth does not set you free, but it makes you free. Because if the truth just set you free, you could be free in appearance, but still be bound in existence. And we know that so many of God's children are free in appearance, but still live in prisons without walls, prisons of fear, prisons of low self-esteem, locked up by other people's opinion, locked up by secrets and sin. And how many of you know that what looks free is not always free? But the truth makes you free. Who the Son sets free, called Almighty, is free indeed. You see, total freedom is not only in appearance, but it's also in existence. Facing the truth is the beginning of getting our lives in balance. What's your truth that you're not facing? Because a false balance, the Bible says, is an abomination to God. In other words, a false balance is like stench in the nostril of God. A false balance is an unpleasant sight in God's eyes. And it makes you wonder, Why is it that God is so disgusted with a false balance? Why is it that this is equated to an abomination? Looks like stealing or killing would be an abomination to God. But God says false balance is what I hate. And church, the reason why it is an abomination to God, it has to do with the number one reason we don't face the truth of our lives or make assessments of our lives is because of this thing called pride. Somebody say pride. Pride is the one thing that God will not tolerate. Pride is the one thing that God will not look upon. James 4:6 tells us God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's opposition to pride is rooted in the fact that when we possess the spirit of pride, we are really evicting or removing our need for God in our lives. You will remember how Adam and Eve fell in the garden. It was based on the lie that the enemy put before them. He told them, if you eat of this fruit, you will be just like God. And this is why God opposes pride. Because pride is an attempt to put ourselves on the same level as God. The spirit of pride is the one thing that we believe that we can make it on our own. We have made it by ourselves, where we feel we don't need nobody else. You know what's best for you. And you're going to do it your way. Amen. And operate your way in the face of the God who made you and who knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. Yet pride causes us to believe that we're just as knowledgeable as God when it comes down to our lives. Whenever we leave out the provisions, the promises, and the ways of God, we're headed for destruction. Because pride means that you are thinking too highly of yourself in the face of God. That's why Proverbs 16 and 18 tells us pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is a prideful spirit that causes destruction and falls to take place in our lives. You watch Donald Trump. A prideful man who is headed for destruction. And those who follow him will be headed for destruction. God help us if he gets in the White House. So don't get too comfortable. Don't get too concerned with ourselves and not allow God, whose love is steadfast, to take care of us. Don't get ahead of God. Don't maneuver God. Don't put God just on your agenda when you need it. But humble yourself in the face of a mighty God. You see, sometimes we just want God to bless us, but we don't want God to direct us. We want God to heal us, but God don't correct me. We want God to make a way out of no way, but we don't want to do it God's way. We want the favor of God, but we don't want the faith to make the promises of God real for our lives. When we get in a spirit of pride, when you're in pride, God steps aside and allow the destructive forces to invade your life. And God will watch you fall, because a false balance is the evidence that pride is operating in your life. This is why the wisdom writer in Proverbs 4:1 tells us, sit up and take notice of your life. This speaks of our ability to look at your life, assess where you are. Don't allow yourself to continue to stand on shaky ground. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Disgrace is a fall from grace. It is when your life ends up in shambles and shame. This is the reward of the prideful. It will ultimately end up in disgrace. Now, the opposite of pride is humility. And I told you that humility means to not think too highly of yourself. And it's also the recognition that you need God. You seek God. You follow God in every facet and phase of your life. You never think that you can make it without God. Humility is being attentive to God and staying focused on Jesus. This is why Proverbs 11 and 2 goes on to tell us, but wisdom is with the humble. The humble knows that if it had not been, Lord have mercy, for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? The wise are the recipient of God's favor because they live a life of balance that says, all to Jesus, I surrender. The wise knows that when they surrender to God, God surrenders them in return. Did you hear me? When you surrender to God, God will surrender you. He'll set you free from the things that try to have you bound. It is not just turning it over to Jesus, but it's staying focused on Jesus and all that you do. Church, wisdom is an asset when we are humble. It is a benefit that we can expect to receive when we are humble. Wisdom is having a connection for the direction that God is going in. The humble connects first with God for direction. But the proud take their own direction. And then after they fall, they try to connect with God. But the humble knows that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And this is wisdom, where the Lord orders our steps, where the Lord guides our lives. And the Lord uses us because we are available to him. You see, the humble seeks daily fresh starts in life. And the humble don't mind removing anything that tries to hold them from taking hold of God's unchanging hand. Yes, Proverbs 1 and 7 reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fools despise knowledge, and a fool despise instruction. Proverbs 15 and 3 tells us the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. And humility goes before honor. You see, wisdom is knowing not just who you are, but wisdom is knowing whose you are. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. It is the ultimate act of humility when we give God all the glory and when we acknowledge the goodness and the greatness of God in our lives. Are you praying with me to know that when all all is not well in my circumstance, but because I'm connected with the Lord, it is well with my soul. You see, the psalmist tells us when you're connected with the Lord. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You see, the degree that you are set free, church, you ought to say so. If the Lord has been your source and your strength, you need to say so. If the Lord has done what no other power could do for you, you ought to say so. If the Lord brought you. Say so. If the Lord been your all in all, your everything, all that you need at all times, if the Lord made a way out of no way, you oughta say so. If the Lord healed your body, if the Lord save your child, if the Lord turn you around, you oughta say so. Is there anybody here? Anybody here got a say so testimony that the Lord has done great and marvelous. Marvelous things in your life. You oughta say so. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, where would you be? And when inquiring minds want to know, how did you make it against the odds when your circumstances look like you ought to be defeated? When folk want to know, what's your secret? You don't tell them, it's not my education. It's not my checkbook. It's not my family. But to God, hallelujah, to God be the glory. That's when you're humble. That's when you're humble.